Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com. Hello everyone, welcome to yet another gaming show, the Video Gaming Netcast, brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at FancyPantsGangsters.com, and it's another week of video game fun.
Yes.
Yes. That's Ashley. Hey.
Hello.
In for her monthly community service.
Yep.
In terms of her parole, she's got to come on at least once a month. We've got a special task for her this week, which if you've been paying attention to the show, specifically last week's show, it might make a little more sense, but we'll talk about that in a bit. Mike will be here shortly. He's stuck at work, but he will be in a little bit later. And Ian is also stuck at work, but he's not coming because he is leaving tomorrow morning for the lovely sunny climes of Boston, Massachusetts.
PAX.
To go to PAX East.
So at least he should be doing some field work for us.
Yes, he promised. He promised he would do some field work for us.
He better, because every goddamn con I go to, I have to do work at.
That's right.
Damn it.
Anybody that does anything has to do something for me.
Right.
That's really... I really position myself as some sort of crime boss.
You do, of cons, almost.
Yes. Well, just of everything. Well, anybody, yeah. I don't actually do anything. I just have all my lieutenants do stuff.
It's true.
That's what I do.
Every San Diego Comic-Con I go to, you're like, make sure you get this.
Yes. Although I was good last year. I didn't really ask you for anything in specific.
Because there wasn't really anything.
You know, there wasn't anything.
That's
was
why.
Kinda
I didn't even get anything.
Have you looked at this coming San Diego in terms of exclusives? Have they talked about that yet?
No, it's still too early.
No.
I would think more May, June.
Okay.
Would be a lot more. But, yeah, I also think that Ian's becoming more of the Courtney of the show. How he's just kind of...
It's all those programmers. We had, you know, Courtney and then Jeff.
Yep.
And he's no longer on the show. Now Ian, being very flaky. It's something about the programming there. We're joined by a cat.
He's going to look outside.
Yes.
Because that's what cats do.
Yes. Ian is allergic to cats, so we have to keep them out of the studio. But he's not here, and Ashley twisted my arm, and...
I love cats!
Yeah, so... Anyway, we got some stuff to talk about. We don't have a ton to talk about, and we're going to just start with the new releases. How's that sound? Sound good? Good?
Sounds good.
Excellent. It's another shit week.
How was it last week?
It's still shit. The big one was Tiger Woods.
The Kinect?
It was the new Tiger Woods tour.
I'm kind of interested in playing that.
Yeah?
I won't buy it. But if someone else buys it, I'll play it type of thing, you know?
Okay. I've heard that it is... I know Gabe from Penny Arcade, he really likes it because the control has refined itself to the point where if you screw up, it's entirely on you. Like, it's not...
It's
100... Yeah, it's 100% based on your actual skill.
Not, oh, what do I do? 80%? I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Because golf games, for how simple the game of golf is... Golf video games seem to be extremely complex and overdone.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I'm not.
I like golf. I like real golf. So I
tend to only
like
arcade golf. Like, you know, Hot Shots.
Or like Golden Tee?
No. See, I'd end up hurting myself if I was doing Golden Tee.
You'd put a fist through the screen or something.
Yeah, I'd end up slipping and breaking my head on the front of the thing. It just. No.
You and
no
coordination,
good.
I guess.
Yeah. Anything involves multiple pieces of my body moving in concert. No. It's.
So that's why you don't know to connect.
Yeah. Well, that and I have no place to put it. But
oh, yeah.
You know, that's fine. Anyway, we got some stuff for you. The one of the big releases, actually, there's probably the big release of the week is Kinect Star Wars.
Oh yeah, which I've heard not very good things about.
GameSpot's giving it a 5 right now.
Out
of 10. So, yeah.
How hard is it to fuck up a Star Wars game where you can pretend like you have a lightsaber? Like, doesn't that just sound like our basic play games when we were younger playing Star Wars? Like, just record little kids playing Star Wars and make it a game. Because that's all adults want to do. Here's a lightsaber. Now I'll fight.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to say. The complaints that I've heard is that you know, it, because it's a series of mini games. It's a lot like Kinect Adventures, where it's a bunch of individual things. And that includes, there's like a Jedi Padawan adventure, where that's kind of the standard lightsaber swinging game.
Mm-hmm.
And that one seems to be okay. Like, the people that have played it, that I've talked to, seem to think that that's one of the stronger parts.
Okay.
It's, some of the other stuff is really boring. Like, apparently the pod racing is really terrible. And
yeah,
the,
why would you even need to connect for that?
I don't know.
Like, that's just... That's like the pod racing game. The arcade one is better because you actually are sitting in a pod car or vehicle. I don't know what the fuck you call them.
A chair?
Yeah, I know, but like the actual vehicle. And then you have like the
pod,
whole...
Yeah.
The whole, you know, you have the controls. Like, that game is fun. But I don't know, like, just pretending to do that? Just sitting there and moving your hands back and forth? Like, you're... That's, that doesn't sound fun.
No, I can't imagine it is. And then there's that kind of offensive, even to me... As a very, very minor Star Wars fan, the dancing game.
Oh, I kind of been interested. I'm kind of interested.
I figured you would be.
Mostly because I like dancing and I like Star Wars. But why is it offensive? Because it has Star Wars characters?
Well, it's more just like, were I a big fan and I wasn't being texted and having not turned off my phone.
Dick.
I know.
And fired.
Mike is hating buses right now. That's what he just told me.
Why is he on a bus all the way here?
I don't know.
He won't be here until the end of the show if he's busing from Bloomington.
I don't know.
This is a horrible chain of events.
I know.
Has happened.
This is, yeah. Everyone, blame Ian.
Blame Ian. Canada.
Yep. Ian's very Canadian, so I think that's...
Yeah, he's super nice and feels like there's a lot of good people around all the time. Mm-hmm. Just kind of innocent.
And kind of smells like maple syrup.
Yep. Yep. Neutral on a lot of things.
Yeah. Ian, very Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to the dancing of the Star Wars.
Yes.
Were I a big Star Wars fan, I would not want to see those characters dancing to Chris Brown songs that have alternate lyrics.
Why is there Chris Brown on there?
Well, that I'm Han Solo song, apparently that's a Chris Brown song. That they just redid the lyrics to.
Oh, I thought it was like just Dance Central, but you could just, the person dancing could be a Star Wars character.
No, they've got Star Wars branded music.
And I kind of just thought it would be funnier to have just creatures of Star Wars galaxy. Like, C-3PO you could do would be kind of fun to do like a Daft Punk song
or something. Could you really dance much? I was thinking R2-D2 there. Sorry. Yeah, that would be a very boring Dance Central mission.
R2,
yeah. All you do is pivot.
Shift back and forth.
Just turn. Just turn and whistle.
Maybe go back and forth a little.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Or like, you know, like the big pig creatures, or...
I was going to say the Horta, but that's a Star Trek thing.
Or even maybe some of the side bounty hunters. Like, not your main characters.
Although Lando dancing, I think, is worth it. Han Solo should not dance.
But he's a side character. I mean, Lando, until you get into, like, the extended series after the movies, Lando is a much bigger character.
Well, it's fucking Billy Dee Williams, so...
Well, right. But he wasn't as big of a character in the movies.
I'm just saying the fact that I can dance as Billy Dee Williams... That is a bit of an advantage as far as I'm concerned. But Han Solo should not dance.
Well, because I don't think Harrison Ford can dance.
No, he doesn't look like he's much of a dancer.
No, not at all.
No. What about the Chumbawamba dance that the Ewoks do at the end of Return of the Jedi? It's not Chumbawamba.
Why
what the
would
fuck
you say
it
Chumbawamba?
It's something like that. It's like Ubba Thubba, or it's a name to that song.
I didn't really know the name. I just know that it's...
Ugh, this is gonna bother me. I'm gonna have to look it up. It's not Chumbawamba, though.
No, although, of course it's not Chumbawamba.
That's what I'm saying.
Chumbawamba were like 2 when that movie came out. Actually, they were probably like 10. They're old.
Yub Nub. That's what it was.
Yub Nub.
The Yub Nub song.
Yub Dub.
Not Jub Jub. Yub Nub.
I know, but... They just say a lot of things in that. that don't
yes,
make sense.
Yes, they do. Anyway, so yes, the Star Wars Kinect is out now at a GameStop near you. Let's see, what else we got? We have Xenoblade Chronicles for a Wii game, a Japanese role-playing game on the Wii. It's actually gotten pretty good reviews. GameSpot gave it a 9.
That's really good.
And this is a game that was released in Japan... like a few years ago, and it was part of this big push where Nintendo said they're not bringing it over to America. There was this big fan outrage, and Nintendo caved and like, fine, we'll bring it over. And now everyone loves it. So,
Wasn't that the one, Xenosaga, you said?
Xenoblade.
Oh, Xenoblade. I was thinking Xenosaga. Never mind. No.
Let's see. That one is actually, it looks kind of cool. It looks very kind of traditional Japanese RPG with some kind of modern kind of tweaks to it that make it somewhat more palatable than a Final Fantasy.
I haven't turned on my Wii in a long time.
I don't have to turn on my Wii anymore because we were using it just as a Netflix box upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a Roku today, so I probably will never turn my Wii on ever again.
I was thinking about selling it.
I've been thinking about selling mine, too.
I wonder what it's worth now.
Probably not much.
50?
That might be pushing it.
No, really? I mean, it came out for $250. Google it. Bing it. I don't care what you do. Don't Yahoo it, though.
I'm going to eBay it.
Oh, eBay.
That's a good...
Yeah, because GameStop will give you fucking $2 for it.
We'll give you a kick in the crotch for it, I think, actually.
Punch in the face. Dicks.
No, I don't want to look up Toys R Us. Why if I search on eBay?
eBay has turned it not only to like an auction site, but they have partner sites where you, like white label sites things can show up on it. Why don't you just look up GameStop trade-in or something?
I'm looking.
Or I wonder what our local Games and Go.
It looks like the black one, the next auction is going for $67.
But that's a black one.
Yeah, the white one's going for $225, which sounds wrong.
Was that a buy it now, though?
No, next auction.
That's
that auction.
But has it been bid on?
That one has... Oh, that one... Okay, that's a little misleading, son of a bitch. it's a white bundle with 10 games.
Well, that's probably what you'd have to do, though. Like, why would you keep your Wii games?
Yeah, I suppose.
Might have to do that.
So actually, looking through this listing, it's looking about between $35 and $70.
And if you sell it,
that's actually not terrible.
And I think if you sell it with the games, you're gonna get a better price. I think you can trade in on Amazon. That would be. I wonder what they take for a lot of those games. That would be.
You're gonna make me look it up, aren't you?
No, you don't have to. Okay, I'm just thinking that. Your better options are eBay or Amazon, not GameStop. Or maybe even like our local Games and Go might take it for a decent price. Because I think people are at least savvy that if they do want a Wii now, like if their kids want a Wii, you don't go to the store and buy a brand new one when you can get a used one for $50 and they know it's probably not been used that much.
Mm.
So, why not?
That is true. All right, so... also coming out this week, I Am Alive, which is a post-apocalyptic survival game.
Oh, yeah.
It's Ubisoft's game. Getting pretty decent reviews. Looks like 8s or so.
That's good.
And that one, Ubisoft, their DRM issues aside, because, they are subject to a lot of the really terrible DRM stuff, especially on the PC.
Okay.
But... I still think they're one of the better developers out there, just in terms of their willingness to do kind of different things with stuff, and they're doing things with stuff, is what I just said. That was really terrible.
Well,
I apologize.
You're fired.
Yeah. But I know you played Silent Hill, so this sounds like totally your kind of game.
Okay. The I Am Alive one?
Yes. Although I don't think it's zombies, I think it's more mutants, but...
Well, you know what I want to do now that I've beaten Silent Hill? I think I either want to... I'm going to take it in and trade it in for either the Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City or trade
Isn't
it...
Isn't that 3DS?
No, that's...
No, it's not?
No, that's Revelations.
Oh, yeah.
Resident Evil Revelations. The Raccoon City one is the multiplayer where you're either, like, STARS operatives or you're, like, the U.S. SWAT team or whatever going in and you're fighting each other.
Oh, yes.
So I'm kind of interested in playing that. That sounds fun. I haven't played a multiplayer in a while because we didn't get Modern Warfare 3 and we sold Black Ops.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
All right. And then the other big game to come out this week is nothing, actually. There's no huge games. There's some arcade games, though. Shoot Many Robots, which is one of the best titles. Shoot Many Robots. That is on everything, pretty much except the Wii.
Okay.
That you do, you shoot a lot of robots with that. But that's, it's simultaneous multiplayer co-op. I believe there's kind of a tower defense kind of horde mode kind of take to it. So it's just basically just blowing up a lot of people. It's one of those games where it's, it's kind of like, you know, Team Fortress and a lot of these other games where you play with people, and then you get money by killing robots, which lets you buy gear, which lets you kill things better, and just it's kind of the constant arms race of buying hats and shit like that. But that looks like a lot of fun.
What do you think? It's like $15.
I do not have the price in front of me, but it wouldn't surprise me.
$15, $10. I'd be surprised if it was ten.
It's probably $15. But that is on all the downloadable things. Also, coming out just for let me look here. I think it's just PS3 and it is just arcade. Where is this from? Can you tell Ian normally does this?
Yes. Or me.
Yes. So coming out on Xbox, actually, Anomaly Warzone Earth. Now, this is a game that was on Steam for a long time, and I believe it's also on iPhone as well. And what this is a tower defense game, except backwards, where you are the aggressor and you have to move your guys through the towers that are being placed by the enemy. So it's kind of a tower offense game, I guess would be the best way to put it. It's kind of interesting. You are a British special forces guy in kind of the near future, and aliens basically land in these various cities. I think it starts in Baghdad, and then there's another one in Japan. I think there's a third one somewhere. I don't really remember. And it's basically you're dealing with these aliens that drop down and then kind of convert buildings into weapons. So it's it's kind of like a convoy game where you're building this convoy of, you know, tanks and laser things and shield generators, all the shit, and you got to basically get your convoy to the end, and you're plotting paths and things like that. It's a lot of fun. It could totally work. It really works well on the PC because you got mouse control. I can totally see it being a fantastic iPhone game or iPad game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how well it's going to work on 360.
Yeah, I don't know.
It could be a little tricky, but it's one of those where it's slow enough, like it's slow enough paced where I don't think it'll be a huge handicap.
Well, that's good.
Having to move around and plot your path, right, and things like that. Because really, you're not really plotting your path. It's more you're deciding which branch of a fork you're taking.
Right.
So it's anytime you get to an intersection, you have a choice to turn or not, I guess. So there isn't a whole lot of different, what do you want to call it, decision points. But yeah, I would recommend that, absolutely, if you have Xbox or if you got Steam. I mean, it's cheap on Steam. I think it's like $8.
Yeah.
So definitely recommend it. And the fact that it appears to be a British-made company, or a British-made game, so it's all British actors. It's just kind of an interesting kind of vibe to it. I don't know why that amuses me so, but it does.
Well, we don't have a lot of British voice actors in our games that we play here.
Not so much. And then also on Xbox 360, a game that I thought came out months ago because they would not stop talking about it, Skullgirls, which is a fighting game for the Xbox Live where you are girls with hats that kill each other. That's what it is.
Hats, huh?
Yep.
Are they magical hats?
I think some of them are. Yeah, it's basically sexy anime girls beating each other up.
Cool.
Using their hats.
Are they scantily clad?
Some of them.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Good. I'm glad you will. So yeah, that's it though. There's really nothing much going on. We are in that kind of doldrum time, you know. There's just nothing going, and all of April looks pretty bad. I want to say there just isn't anything that interesting coming out.
No, well, what is? I feel like something is coming out, and now I don't remember what it is.
Fez finally comes out next week.
Fez, oh, yeah. I feel like there's just not a lot of. I feel like all the good games came out in the last couple months, and that's...
It was a very front-loaded year.
Yes. Well, wait, does Silent Hill HD come out soon?
It's already out.
That came out last week? The week before?
I actually don't know.
It was recently.
It's being talked about so much, I've figured it was already out, but...
Because I think it came out like a week or two after Silent Hill Downpour, which I didn't think the timing was very good on that. Like, why wouldn't you spread out the Silent Hill games? You know?
Yes, it has Yeah, it is out now.
Okay.
Looks like it came out in early March.
Hmm.
It's funny because all the reviews are like nines and stuff, but the Amazon review is 2.5 stars.
Is that just one person?
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah, that's got to be only like, because Amazon, they can be.
See, I want you to get that because there's been a lot of controversy with that where it has, like, in terms of re-rendering some of the graphics, they kind of, like, there was a lot of scenes with a lot of fog that they're now a lot clearer.
Ooh.
And they got rid of a lot of kind of the spooky elements behind it, and I don't know why.
Hmm.
Like, somebody thought that maybe they just couldn't figure out how they did the fog back then, but that seems like a really stupid. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Why would you be able to do something back then and not now if it's a computer thing?
It's like the code is there. It's not like they're...
That's what I mean.
It's not like they're building it because they're, like, playing it and taking notes as they go.
It's not like they're using, you know, a phonograph from back in the day and trying to use it to today's technology. I don't...
Really? A phonograph?
Well, I couldn't think of an older technology.
A phonograph?
I don't know. What do you want?
Are you a time traveler from 1910?
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're not taking extremely old technology and trying to play... Silent Hill came out 15 years ago? 10 years ago? 10 years.
It was PS2, so... 15 would be pushing.
I was probably 17 when it came out. 16, 17. Yeah. So, yeah, like...
It might be 15 years old.
Maybe. It might
be. Yeah, because it came out PS2, and yeah. Yeah, I was in high school when PS2 came out.
Yeah, so. And I was, I think it was like a freshman, sophomore.
Shut up. Hate you so much.
Well, you're old.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So...
Mike's still not here.
Mike's still not here yet.
He won't be. He'll show up the last 10 minutes of the show, and he'll be so angry.
Bus travel does that to people.
Especially during rush hour. Well, it's not even rush hour anymore. It's 6.
Yeah,
37. Well.
Anyway, speaking of Silent Hill, though, you played a game, unlike most of us.
Well, you know, since I'm only on the show once a month, I figure I should come with a game.
That is appropriate, yes.
And I feel like I'm almost better at the podcast now, that I feel like I'm more prepared only once a month. Because I feel like I really have to, like, show my worth.
Well, don't make a habit of this once a month thing, though.
Well, we'll see.
No.
This is definitely until I'm getting married.
Well, yes, I understand that, but...
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So I even wrote out on this really long sheet all of my little... Look, I even have, like, story...
It's one sheet of paper. It's not a really long sheet.
Puzzle. It's not double-spaced. This is single-spaced. It's a full page. There's only, like... Don't judge me. There's more I can add.
Just give us a review of Tolstoy.
Okay. What?
Nothing.
Did that make any sense?
Is that a word? If you know books.
I didn't hear what you said.
Give your review Tolstoy.
Okay. All right.
You don't know who Tolstoy is.
No, I don't, but I now know what you said. Because before I was like, did it name doo. Okay.
This is the best show ever.
So... I'm going to start kind of with the overall story, and the thing about Silent Hill and the early ones always seemed like it was more of a more captivating story. You know, it was kind of obscure at first, and you were slowly learning. Like most good or well-written video games, you slowly are learning more about the character as the game progresses.
Well, especially in like horror movies or horror games where it's dripping information to you.
Right, right. So... your main character is Murphy, and you start, and he's actually in prison.
RoboCop? Is RoboCop your character?
No. No, he's
I think I'd be better at Silent Hill if I had RoboCop.
He almost kind of looks like Leon, because he's got like long, shaggy hair from Resident Evil, but he's got a thinner face. He's skinnier because he's been in prison.
I've never played any of the Resident Evil, so I don't know who that is.
I hate you.
Yeah, you should.
So, basically, you are getting transferred, and so this is how you end up... At Silent Hill, you are on a bus being transferred, and surprise,
again with the buses.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise, you crash. Like all the other Silent Hills, that's how you end up in Silent Hill, because your vehicle crashes.
No one goes there on purpose.
No. No one wants to.
It's like Oklahoma. No one's set out for Oklahoma.
Right. No. Nope. So you wind up on the outskirts of Silent Hill, and actually to get to the town, you have to go through a mine, and you're actually avoiding the chick that was in the bus. She was like the main officer that was escorting you to go to the transfer prison, but like she's kind of following you. She's like the only survivor of the bus because there's a bunch of other prisoners that fell.
So it's Con Air.
Yes.
I'm liking what I'm hearing so far.
So you come up to this mine, and you come up to this gas station. And the nice thing about this Silent Hill is it kind of has an homage to the early Silent Hills. And it has similar music with, like, the mandolin playing and, like, the piano music. And if you actually go into... If you haven't played it yet and you're going to play it, you should go into the little cafe, I think it's a gas station, restaurant, and there's a jukebox. And if you put in money, it plays music from the second Silent Hill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. So you, like, go through the mine, and you finally get to Silent Hill. The mine is creepy, and that's, like, a good chunk of the game, but you have to get to Silent Hill, or else why would you call it Silent Hill?
Yeah, it was like you're not in Silent Hill for most of the game?
No, I would say only, like... The first couple hours, you're not.
Okay.
You're in the... I mean, it's still like an attraction. It's the mines of Silent Hill. But you're not in the town yet. So, and then on your journey, you also run into other humans, which I think was a great part of the other early Silent Hills, were these, like, side characters that were always stuck in the town like you, but they never gave you any information. Like, the thing that's cool about this Murphy guy is he's savvy to what's going on, and the fact that this fucking creature tried to kill me back there, like, what's going on, you know? And he keeps asking all these questions.
That is one of those things that always bothers me about, like, these kind of stories just in general, but mm-hmm. horror games in particular. It's like the main character always just seems like such a dumbass.
Well, and they just, like, accept it.
Yeah,
you know, you run into a human, and instead of asking, like, what the fuck is going on here, like, you know, there's zombies everywhere, or there's creatures everywhere, mm-hmm. like, they just are like, What's your name? No, fuck your name. I don't care who you are. What's going on here?
That's why I liked Alan Wake, because I think he had a good kind of sense of this is not normal, and, you know, he was, it made it seem more real.
Right.
Yeah. Which, when you're fighting someone with a flashlight, you kind of need bit of dose of reality.
Right, and I think the cool thing about Murphy is because he is a prisoner, he's already super, like, on edge and on guard. So he's constantly trying to get information, or just kind of, he's just trying to get to the next spot, but he also knows what's going on here is not right. And just talking to these people, you learn more about him, which is always interesting. And it just kind of adds that kind of creepiness, because you know these people exist here and they must have done something, because you don't go to Silent Hill if you're an innocent person. Like, you don't go to Silent Hill and experience Silent Hill if you're just a bystander. Usually, like, you've done something, or you're looking for something, somebody dead.
Bad things have happened to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Must make their tourism board really a difficult job.
It must be.
Or really easy. I mean, it's kind of like Vegas.
Maybe.
You want broken people to come to your place.
You do. It probably feeds into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have they said where Silent Hill is, like the city? Is it an American city?
It's a Midwest city, yeah.
Midwest, oh, yeah. Okay.
Because it feels... It was okay. Well, this one is super, you know, it rains all the time. So maybe Seattle area?
Yeah, Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. The story was really interesting. It was kind of nice that it wasn't just a guy looking for his wife, or a guy looking for his daughter, or, you know, somebody just looking for somebody. Somebody was just like, I need to get the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and you slowly learn why he was in prison through, like, notes and interactions with people. In the town, and he just gets, like, weird flashbacks, and, you know, it's pretty interesting. I think it was just they did a good job with it, because I feel like Silent Hill, the earlier games, like, just don't give you enough information, mm-hmm. and you're just like, oh, I'm looking for my daughter. She's this person, and blah, blah, blah. Now it's like, what? No, what happened? Why are you okay with this answer? This is, you know, so that made me happy. The combat is pretty similar to the original early Silent Hill games.
So terrible.
Yeah, but I think they tightened it up a bit with this one. You can have more weapons. You can have a gun and a melee weapon. There's more items that you can use as a weapon. So if you just see, like, a brick on the ground and you don't have an axe or something, you can pick it up. Feels like there's a lot more instead of just, like, a bat or a pipe. Seems like an axe were, like, the only things that you had in the first couple games. You can use a rake, a shovel, the bottom of a chair, an actual chair, a hammer, a pitchfork, a pickaxe.
A candlestick.
Maybe a candlestick. A rope in the library.
I don't think you can use a library at someone.
In the library, I said.
Oh, in the library.
In the library.
See, I'm just thinking just somebody beating someone with a library.
Library book.
It's kind of meta. No, the full library.
Superman could.
He probably could.
Pick up a library.
Yes.
But
this went to a weird place. Yeah. Anyway.
So another thing that was prevalent in the Homecoming game, which is the game before this, was instead of just blocking, you had to evade. And the evading didn't work. Like, you would evade a creature and you'd still get hit, even if you weren't close to it. So they put the kibosh to that. And this is if you have a weapon, like a pipe or something, and you just block, you don't get damaged. Well, and another great thing, too, about, I felt like in the last game or two, you couldn't run from creatures. Like, you had to fight them. And if you didn't have anything to fight them with, punching them to death was not effective, especially if you couldn't evade. So this game, there's actually an achievement that you just run away from every creature and you don't kill any creature. But I have the satisfaction of hurting a weird creature and then just stomping it to death. I don't know why, because that creature should not exist. It's not an alien. It's not like some higher intelligent form being thing. It's just
so it's okay to kill things that are dumber than you, is what I'm hearing.
No, they're trying to kill you. They're all trying to kill you.
Oh, well, then I guess that makes it okay.
Yeah.
I guess.
Self-defense.
I suppose.
Another thing with a lot of these survival horror games are the puzzles. And the interesting thing about this is you can pick the difficulty of the game, and then you can also pick the difficulty of the puzzle separately.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So that
How does that work? How do you gauge the difficulty of a puzzle? What is a puzzle? Give a typical puzzle.
Okay, there's a safe, and you have to get all the numbers. So first you have to figure out where the numbers are. And then when you go back to the safe, then there's, like, if you turn one knob, then it turns three.
Oh, God.
Something like that.
Who would make a safe like that?
A genius.
No.
What?
An asshole is who would make that safe.
Yeah, but I spent some time and I cracked it. So some of the puzzles are pretty cool. I don't even know what difficulty I picked. And you also get, like, a cool UV ray flashlight. So, like, you can only see things with this flashlight. So there's actually only one creature that you can see with it. So if you're getting attacked and you don't know by what, you have to turn on your flashlight, which is kind of creepy. Because the first time you run into it, you're like, what the hell is that? Oh, the flashlight. Oh, God. Okay. I know what's going on now. And so you have to use it for puzzles too.
Oh.
But I don't know. They did have a couple, other than just like the annoying ones, they had a couple creepy ones where it was similar to the movie where she had to like pull the key out of the guy's throat, you know, kind of thing. Where you
kind of like Saw?
No, that's from Silent Hill, the movie.
Oh.
So you have to do some kind of gross things. But basically, the overall gameplay, camera angles are great. I didn't have any complaint about the camera angles. The only time where you can't move the camera angles is if you go in a specific room and it's just one angle, which I think is a good way to kind of keep that, you know, disturbing feeling, because you don't know if something's going to come out. You can't see either side of the room, so you don't know if something's going to come in from behind or, you know, in front of you. So that was kind of cool. And that was only, like, a few rooms. It wasn't, like, it was a really prevalent thing.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I didn't like is it was really glitchy for the first, like, 3-5 hours. Like, there'd be some points where, like, it was just really glitchy, and I didn't understand why. And Cole's like, oh, you should download it to the hard drive. And then I did, and then I played it off the hard drive, and it was still a little glitchy at first, and then it was better.
Like, define glitchy.
Like stroby. You know, like a game where it's not loading fast enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Only a few instances. And it was mostly when if you open a door, so you have to physically open a door and then it'll stay open. And then if you walk kind of far away, it'll close, which is kind of creepy because at first you're like, holy shit, what is that? And then you just get used to it throughout the game. But the door will slam. And then when the door slams, like it kind of glitches out. It's thinking of closing, or like it's a really hard thing for it to close just by itself. Like, it's not an action.
Mm-hmm.
It was very bizarre. And I didn't like the door closing thing, because it always creeped me out no matter what. I'd be like, holy shit.
Now, were you playing this late at night or anything like that? Like, do you, when you play these games, because you've played a fair amount of these horror games.
Yes.
Do you set the mood? Do you turn all the lights off? Do you only play late at night? Do you play with headphones on?
I play whenever. Because Cole's playing Mass Effect 2, so we're kind of fighting over the Xbox, so it was kind of like whenever he was not playing, I was playing. Mm. There was one night, though, that I started playing. It was later at night, and that's the night it started to rain. And I ran downstairs. I go, Cole, I just turned on Silent Hill, and it's raining. And he's like, so I was like, going back upstairs. Like, he just didn't get it. Because it was like, playing Silent Hill downpour. Fuck. Never mind. I have no one to share this with.
This is why you need a Twitter account.
I do have a Twitter account. I don't use it.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is why you need to use your Twitter account.
No one gives a fuck.
Oh, that's probably true.
And then, so this is called Downpour. Basically, what happens when it rains is all the creatures come out, and they all attack you at once, and they're super aggressive. So if it's raining, you usually need to go inside and kind of avoid them.
That's just good advice anyway.
Well, right. And it, like, lightnings, and so, like, sometimes you can't see the creature until there's lightning. So that's kind of cool, and that's, I think, it kind of took the place of the fog. Because there wasn't much fog in this one. Except for when you got closer down by the dock area. But other than that...
Does this generation just not know how to do fog?
Maybe not.
Is that lost technology at this point?
Yeah, I don't know if it's lost technology.
Is this like the Baghdad Battery of video games?
Maybe. Or maybe they're just trying to do something different. And it was cool, like, because then your character would get all wet, and the creatures would get all... Because you still couldn't see them. I mean, it was like the fog, because it was dark, and you still couldn't see them. Mm-hmm. You could only hear the walkie-talkie.
Ah.
You know, so it was pretty cool. But,
I wonder if, because, I mean, a lot of these games, mm-hmm. especially in the early days of, you know, 3D... And by that I mean like 3D graphics, not like right. 3D TVs and things like that. But, you know, like the early days of like Resident Evil and Silent Hill and some of these games, they used fog simply because, and you know, you could even say this in like Morrowind. It was kind of like this too, where they used fog to reduce the amount of things you could see because that would make the game actually playable, because anything you couldn't see, they didn't have to like render.
Right. So it would load quicker.
So
it would
load quicker and just play smoother. And they just didn't have the horsepower to do a lot of stuff. So they did, right. they did very foggy things. And then there was all these, you know, games that they were like, well, since we got to have this fog anyway, let's use it for, you know, dramatic effect.
Right.
And now I wonder is now, because the systems have caught up to the point where they can do this stuff, if there's like this weird thing where like, we don't need to do fog anymore, so goddamn it, we're not going to. We're going to show every leaf of every tree.
Right. We're going to show them we can do this.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I wonder. I'm, that makes me curious now. I was just like, because.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think of things like Skyrim. I mean, that was one of the big things of that game is that you can see for miles. And it's all about draw distance and things like that. It's like, I wonder if they are intentionally not doing things simply because there's a perception, at least amongst developers and programmers, that that is a cheat and right. they don't need to cheat anymore.
Right. Maybe. We needed some developer
We need
friends.
To know people.
Yes. Let's
just ask a programmer, hey, are you just scared of using fog? Is that what this is?
Do you need to show your worth?
Yes. Are you feeling inadequate?
So, back to it, I mean, you have the walkie-talkie, that's a pretty big Silent Hill staple, goes off if there's a creature nearby. I didn't notice that all the monsters or creatures all had a human form. So, in like, the first and the second one, there's, like, dogs, or there's flying things. There was nothing really like that in this one. Everything was super creepy, but it wasn't, like, a two-legged mannequin. Everything had, like, a head, arms, and legs. Which I thought was just really interesting because, they usually deviate. Like, there's usually, like, in Homecoming, there's, like, a weird spider thing. But all the creatures had a human-esque quality to it. So that was different. I mean, still creepy. But, like, instead of nurses, it was these women with other sharp things chasing you. So the nurses weren't in it, but...
Women with sharp things are terrifying.
They are.
Just throwing that out there.
They're also like Black Canary. They can yell at you and it hurts.
Who?
Black Canary, the DC.
Oh, it's
superhero.
DC. Yeah, I don't care. Isn't she the one in the wheelchair?
No, that's Oracle. That's Batgirl. Batgirl gets paralyzed and becomes Oracle. You fail.
You sure that
I am?
No. What about that? What?
You really gonna argue with me about DC Comics right now?
No. Wasn't there like a superhero women's group?
Birds of Prey.
Yeah, it wasn't...
Black Canary's in it.
Yeah, but she wasn't the one in the wheelchair?
No, that's Oracle. That's Batgirl.
No, Oracle can't be in Birds of Prey. That Oracle is not a bird name. They all have to have bird names. Otherwise, you can't be in Birds of Prey.
She was Batgirl. She was Batgirl.
But if Calvin and Hobbes have taught me anything, bats aren't birds.
I swear. No, look it up. Look it up right now.
No, I believe you.
No, you don't. You don't want me to prove you wrong.
No, I believe.
You do look it up right now.
I believe you that Oracle. My beef is not with you. My beef is with the DC people that you have someone not named after a bird in a team called Birds of Prey. That's my point.
Yeah, well, what are they going to call it? Flying Things of Prey?
No, you just give her a bird name. There's got to be, like, you call...
she was the Oracle before Birds of Prey.
Call her, like, Owl Girl or something, because that's a very wise bird. Or, if you want to go the whole flightless thing, since she's, you know, in a wheelchair, call her the Kiwi.
The Or the Penguin? Oh, but they already have the
Penguin. Yeah, there's already a fairly prominent DC character named the Penguin.
Lies.
I like the Kiwi. Speaking of flightless birds, I just saw Mike come bounding past the window, so he should be down here in a bit.
All right, well, I'll kind of wrap up here pretty quick. Okay, so the game took me about 10 hours, roughly, but there's a bunch of side quests that you can do, so you can essentially spend more time. The side quests are kind of nice because it tells you more about Murphy.
Okay. Again, this is more me, Silent Hill noob.
There's not usually side quests.
Okay, that was going to be my question.
It's a new thing.
Yeah, they seem to be fairly... linear.
Yes, they're very linear. There's the thing about Silent Hill is you can spend 2 hours trying to find the next fucking thing you need to do.
Yep.
Because you cannot figure out what you're supposed to do. So this one is not as linear. I mean, you still have to get from point A to point B to continue the story, but you can do all these kind of cool side quests, which you get achievements for. And I beat the fucking game and I didn't get an achievement for beating the game.
Is there an achievement for beating a game? It just didn't
like on hard.
Fire? Oh, on hard.
But not, like, normal. What the
you
heck?
Gotta earn it.
I'm not playing that game again.
There is that. Now, can you play it? Now, do they have different achievements for finishing with puzzles hard, regular?
Yep, there's one for finishing with hard puzzles. There's one for doing all the side quests. There's each side quest, you get a puzzle. I did a couple of them. Or you get an achievement. So, yeah, there's, I mean, it's a bigger game than most of Silent Hills. I was surprised. So I all in all, I'd probably give it like an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Because it pays an homage to the old Silent Hill. I feel like there wasn't enough of that actual Silent Hill feeling. Because I think they kind of focus
that
more on the rain.
That old-time Silent Hill feeling?
Well, like when everything turns really grimy and gross.
Okay.
You know, like, and everything gets warped. They didn't have that as much. And you're running away from this, like... 13 times throughout the game, you're running through away from this red mist or this weird cosmic thing that's pulling you in. So you're like just running, you're trying to find a path, and you have to like knock over crates of like weird dead guys or whatever. And you do it like 13 times throughout the game. You're like, what the fuck is going on? I don't know. No, there's no red mist in Silent Hill. There's no, but it's part of the game. So
you can't say it's not there when it's there.
I know, but it shouldn't be.
So is this kind of like The Room, where it feels like it's a game that wasn't supposed to be a Silent Hill?
No, it doesn't have that feeling though.
Okay,
it doesn't, because like the end battle is pretty cool. The ending, you can get a couple different endings, like you can in the old Silent Hills. It still has a Silent Hill feeling.
Now, which ending did you get?
I don't know. I think I got like your basic ending.
Oh, okay.
I think like the good because if you make decisions throughout the game, you know.
Like most games.
And I was... No, I know, but like you can do yes or no.
Yeah.
I was a better guy, even though I knew I killed somebody. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to be good now that I'm free. So I got...
The reason why I ask is apparently there's a spoiler. I guess this is a bit of a spoiler, but ex-Game Informer writer Phil Kohler, he posted...
He's not a writer there anymore?
No, he left there last week, I think. To do what? I don't know. Anyway, he posted his ending on Facebook, and it was apparently there's an ending that you can get if you do a specific order of things where it's all aliens and your character gets kidnapped by aliens at the end of it.
Oh, I didn't get that ending.
Yeah, he said exactly how he did it, how you do it. It's like three big choices you have to make. And it's like if you save this one person or don't save them, and forgive this person or don't forgive them, and then if you do this other thing.
I did the first two. I'm sure I did them like yours.
I think you can't forgive. I think that was the big thing. You have to like save the person but don't forgive the other person.
I forgave the person. I was like, I'm going all good. I'm all good.
Going all good. But, speaking of all good, yeah. I want to welcome to the show Mr. Mike Tenine.
Hello, everyone.
Looking very dapper, thank I must
you.
Say.
Don't thank steal you. My lines. I was going to say that.
Oh.
Get out of my head.
I don't want to be there.
I just wondered if this red mist that you were talking about, maybe that's the next evolution of Pyramid Head. You know, if you feed Pyramid
he's,
Head
enough... He's gone gaseous.
If you feed him enough rare candy, he maybe. Evolves into red mist.
Maybe.
Rare candy?
Yes. I've been playing a fuckload of old Pokemon lately.
Is that how you evolve Pokemon, is feed them candy?
That's how I've been doing it, but I'm using game shirt codes.
You bribe them and fight them. Like,
see, I thought you had to just fight them.
Yeah,
you can also feed them rare candy.
I didn't know you could power them by diabetes.
Yeah.
Diabetes. Well, it's like the same thing when you breed a golden chocobo. You got
to
give them...
Oh, yeah, like I know how to do that.
A fancy nut to get them all horny.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's kind of like the
shit. It's been a while since I've given chocobo a nut. You're welcome. You're welcome, everyone.
That's that's the kind of stuff you can buy in the gas station bathroom, right? The horny goat weed, but it's like, you know, horny nut.
Horny
for,
goat nut.
Horny goat horny nut goat for nut. Chocobos, yeah.
Oh.
It exists in the land of Final Fantasy.
There's not enough gas stations in Final Fantasy for that.
There's not enough save points
But
in
there
Final
is enough
Fantasy.
Prada-ware, apparently.
Yeah,
that's the new
that.
One. That's the
insane.
New one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's... No. They don't wear
you don't
Prada.
Want... Well,
oh come on! Like,
well,
like,
Squall would be the only one that would wear.
Yeah,
Prada.
I mean, the Chocobo wears Prada. Come on,
the Chocobo wears Prada.
Someone make that poster for us.
Yeah.
Tonberry wears Prada because he's a dick. Chocobos are good.
No, but you see, Tonberries are monks. They're non-materialistic. All they need is their lantern, the robe, and their stabbing knife.
Monks don't stab people and kill you. So
the good ones do.
Your theory is flawed. But I appreciate where you went with it.
I'm just saying.
Fair enough.
Some monks will do it.
No,
some will.
Monks
will also show gay porn during a seminar, apparently, too.
No, that was a priest. That was a priest.
Well, same thing, right?
What
not exactly,
you know?
No. Oh, I know monks.
No, you don't.
Oh yes.
Mm.
By monks, he means the homeless dude dressed up in like a hoodie downtown.
Yeah.
That's a kind of monk.
Yeah.
Right,
he rambles weird shit.
It's kind of hobo.
He says he's a monk. Is it?
Yes, and we should believe the homeless man.
He gave me a pamphlet.
That was nice of him.
It was covered
that's
in urine.
That's why I'm letting my hair grow out. I'm becoming a monk.
Mm-hmm. They shave their heads.
He's a different kind of monk.
God,
it's like the karate. Oh fuck! What was the guy that
Miyagi?
In the guy who's played Bill in Kill Bill too. He had that karate show.
Oh.
Wasn't he like supposed to be a monk in that? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah,
you just hurt me. Just hurt my soul. First off, it was Kung Fu one thing.
All right, sorry.
Not karate. It's wrong.
Whatever, I couldn't remember.
Like you're a martial arts expert.
I am a gold belt
with little
butterfly stickers.
He
on
is
it.
Built like a Kung Fu expert.
I'm built like a tackling dummy.
Like Cobra Kai.
Like a sumo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not that big.
No, you're not.
No.
There'd be like five of you.
Yeah, thank you, I think.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, well, yes, I know it's a lot. Anyway, so Mike, how's it going, sir?
It's going all right.
It's going?
I do want to say that I am not pleased with service at said place I was at, nor am I pleased with the bus service of Minneapolis.
Mm.
We mentioned that.
We mentioned buses.
Because a monk over here didn't turn off his phone.
So you kept getting my G-chats of me cursing the bus system?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, well, and the character in Silent Hill, he was on a bus.
And he crashed. That's how he gets to Silent Hill.
Oh.
So
we were a little worried, because it was right after she said that, you texted that you were hating your bus. So it's like, oh, God, Mike's in Silent Hill.
We were hoping I wasn't going to have to go and save you.
Okay.
I mean, I was. I don't know.
I don't know how I'd feel about throwing over crates of dead people. I'm kind of confused with why there was crates of dead people.
Well, they're not. Well, it's Silent Hill. So there's crates of...
They don't make Tupperware big enough.
Oh,
you
got to
put
enough.
Them in crates.
Fair enough.
Everything has to be see-through and gory and rusting as well.
Hmm.
And Tupperware is just a clean, clean thing, you know?
It's the future.
Fair enough. Is that kind of like the Dippin' Dots ice cream?
Dippin' Dots is awesome.
Do they have that
but
in Silent
so cool.
Hill? Because that's the future. That's what they tell me anyways.
It is the... No, the astronaut ice cream is supposed to be the future.
That stuff
is
terrible.
Gross.
Yeah, that is gross.
Give me a Frosty if you're going to give me fake ice cream, goddammit.
Or like Dairy Queen.
Well, yeah, but they have Blizzard, so I forgive them.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Stop making noises!
I'm sorry.
First the cat, then you, then
you again.
It's a
very noisy show.
It is.
Well, it's because my tablet is dead, so I have to use my laptop. And
oh my god, you Neanderthal.
Well, it's more, I haven't turned the speakers off because I was listening to music on my laptop earlier.
No, just you Neanderthal have any...
Oh, you just call me a Neanderthal just for fun of it?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
That works.
Let's do some news stories, shall we?
Let's do it.
Not a whole lot of news. This one just amused me to no end. So apparently there is a game called Prime World. It's an online RPG, I guess. I believe it's run by this company named Nival, and I don't know a whole lot about it. I'm guessing it's...
They should have called themselves Project Nival.
They should
just
have.
Just putting it out
they
there.
They should have. Well, I believe they're Eastern European, because Nival president Sergei Orlovsky emailed Kotaku about an article. Actually, it's funny. There's an article in the Penny Arcade Report that was mentioning that women would pay less to buy additional heroes in this game. And that was apparently slightly erroneous. President Sergei...
Yeah, what does that mean? I don't know what that means.
What it looks like, it's more like a League of Legends, so where you buy characters to play.
Okay.
And for them, the original story said women would pay less for additional characters, which kind of adds to this kind of ladies' night kind of mentality with the game, which I think is actually kind of interesting.
Well, it's Russian mail order brides, but in reverse. They're trying to bring women into the Eastern European blocks.
Virtually.
Right. Well, I mean, the hope is to lure them in, you know, being, you know, Mr. Sergei would be so suave as to allow them cheaper characters, to lure them to the streets of Sarajevo or Herzegovina, or I can't fucking remember the names of all those.
No one remembers.
Yeah.
It changes every... I'm surprised you knew one, to be honest. I was like, you're just saying fancy words.
Bosnia Herzegovina, or what the hell, whatever.
Herzegovina,
that's what it is. Okay.
Herzegovina.
Or the Ukraine, or whatever.
Them's my people, so.
Yeah.
What? Don't lie to me.
No, I've got Eastern European blood in me.
Okay, well, that doesn't just say one.
That was also the hobo that...
That's
the
hobo. Yeah, that's where I got the blood.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. No, anyway, so...
The things Evan will do for bus fare.
Yeah.
That's true. So it was clarified that the actual policy is that male players will get cheaper characters if they buy male heroes. And likewise, female characters, or female players, if they buy female characters, they will be cheaper.
But how do they know what sex I am?
Well, they said that, and apparently they're forced...
Hormones.
They will determine your gender by asking you to connect your Facebook account to the game. So it looks at what gender you are on Facebook and says, okay, you're a woman, therefore you get all your women.
What if you're an emo kid and you look like a girl?
You have to pick a gender. It doesn't analyze by the picture.
Oh.
Because otherwise you would think mine is a sidekick from The Tick right now. So
fair enough. Yeah, like hipster kids who... kind of dress erroneously.
But it's interesting. They're doing some interesting things with kind of gender in this. I mean, not only there's the one thing where it's like play who you are, but you know, there's the whole thing, well, maybe you don't want to.
I'm pretty fucking boring, so I don't want to play who I am.
Yeah. You know? What they're also saying is that groups that include both men and women will receive combat bonuses.
Bonus for co-ed.
But don't worry, the women will only receive 70% of the XP that men do.
As it should be.
You're lucky I come on once a month at this rate.
Well, I know.
Punch.
I just thought that was interesting. And it's an interesting way of getting... I don't want to say it's interesting getting women to play, but maybe it is an interesting way of getting to play. Would you play a game as a woman?
Mm-hmm. I do play games.
Assuming you play games, which most girls don't.
Okay.
Because they're busy knitting.
And baking.
And baking and making children. I'm just waiting to see if you'll come over.
What do you want me to say?
I don't know. Just...
Oh, you waiting for me to come over the table?
Yeah. Yes.
I save my violence for after the podcast.
Ah, well, you're very professional.
I don't know. I think that would increase our listenership if we had violence on it.
Just yeah. Yeah. Please don't
continue.
Actually. Anyway, no. God. Would you play a game Would it mean anything to you if you were given, maybe not advantages, but there were special things that you got because you are a woman?
Depends. I would want the men to be getting something different as well then. Like, I wouldn't want just special treatment.
So you're like, not advocating like a ladies' night kind of mentality?
Not really. No.
Where, like, you get to go out there and just all the male characters just buy you stuff and you never have to pay for anything.
No, because I don't really like that anyways. I buy my own shit. So I don't know. Like, I feel like if there's like a guys' night and a ladies' night, just, you know, like, just different days or whatever, so everything's kind of equal, then I'd be totally cool with that. But I feel like, you know, 2 out of 5 gamers are female already. Like, I don't know.
I think that's skewed, though, with online, though. I think the proportions are much more skewed toward men for online games.
Actually, but if you... They say that more couples, like, more people have found, like, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or, you know, a partner on World of Warcraft than they have, like, eHarmony. Like, it's been more successful getting couples together.
Hmm.
There was some article. I don't remember if it was like NPR. Probably wasn't. It was something else. But
NPR doesn't talk about World of Warcraft.
I don't know what it was, but it was one morning talk show about a study that showed that people playing on World of Warcraft would meet in guilds and then, you know, find out that this person's a woman, you know, whatever, and then they would start dating. And they were more successful because they were working like as a team and they were doing something together. So they already could kind of tell each other's personality because, you know, you talk and whatever, mm-hmm. instead of just going on a couple random dates. Like they found out after a while being in a guild with somebody. I don't know. I thought that was really, really interesting.
There's also probably less likelihood of married people just looking to cheat on their spouses on World of Warcraft.
There's that too.
Yeah. No. Well, right. Exactly. So.
All right.
And it's funny because I say this as somebody who met my spouse on the internet.
Well, no, that's fine. Like, that's awesome.
But that was in Second Life, and that was because you threw a penis at her. So,
a dildo.
No, it was at Second Life. It was an actual penis.
Oh, okay.
I think I've played all of 5 minutes of Second Life ever. Now, after a while, I was just like, what the shit? This is like The Sims, but way more involved. I'm bored.
So, okay, I got a question for you two people, because you're both more multiplayer than I am.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Let's say, you know, and God forbid, let's say your respective others hit by a bus. Okay, so you find yourself suddenly single. Okay, you mourn for the appropriate 15 to 20 minutes.
Is it like that episode of the How I Met Your Mother, with Marshall's dreams, but he always has to like make sure that Lily dies of something before?
Yeah, he can't fantasize unless he's already figured out if Lily's dead or not.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Would you go, and you're thinking of going like the eHarmony route or something like that, would you go online? Would you go to an online game before you go to an online dating site?
Probably.
The only reason I would is because I'd probably just be like, well, this is my life now.
Well, you wouldn't go to look for a woman.
It would just devolve into that. Be like, I'm just going to live in my basement, not ever go upstairs actually now.
Well, and I've always wanted to try it. So it'd be kind of, except that I'm kind of a more like person that if something bad happens, I don't want to be at home by myself. So I would probably want to be out doing something, but.
You can go to an internet cafe.
I don't know. I just think.
And play WoW for 20 hours.
And fall over dead.
Internet is a new way to find people. I mean, people don't want to.
I'm talking specifically gaming. I'm not necessarily saying.
No. But I think, and then, you know, as a tangent to that, so it was gaming or like, you know, it's just. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I didn't realize it was such a big number, but there's more. They said there was like 3 million or something users on eHarmony,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to like 60 million users on World of Warcraft. So you just have more users. So
well, here's the thing you have to realize too is that, you know, let's say what I don't know what eHarmony is for their subscription fees. Some
I don't
number
know.
Of dollars must be contributed to that. So really, you're paying money to basically troll a bunch of people's profiles and be like, this person is, you know, physically acceptable and I could maybe tolerate them. Versus a game where you're paying fees and you are getting an interactive entertainment experience out of the deal. And then you just so happen to meet somebody out of it.
right.
extra bonus. I think to me, you know, the fact that you're getting something in return for your money is enticing people to be in an online game versus being on eHarmony.
So they should make an eHarmony game. Sounds horrible.
No, don't give Zynga any ideas. Don't.
They don't listen. It's okay.
You never know.
Maybe they do.
Who knows?
Maybe they're stealing all of our brilliant vault ideas.
Bastards.
God damn it.
It wouldn't be surprising. It's Zynga. Come on.
I know.
Probably true.
So,
probably the big story, and this is for this being the big story, it's kind of sad. It would be EA wins the Consumerist's Worst Company in America award for 2012. So, he's got the wagon finger out. He's ready to go.
So I actually wrote an article very impromptu about this that will be out. This will be out. It'll be out by the time the show comes out tomorrow. The article will be posted on Games Are Evil. But it's just like, so this is kind of like a Final Fantasy type bracket of a bunch of different companies. And,
you, mean,
you know,
Final Fantasy type?
You mean sorry, March sorry. Madness.
March Madness.
Wow, turn in your sports card right now.
You're fired.
I'm really devolving into... I keep thinking about the fantasy football thing, and that
the Final
always throws,
Fantasy
yeah,
football.
Final Fantasy football. Yeah.
Fair
throws
enough.
Me off all the
Fair
time.
Enough.
So it was, yeah, kind of a March Madness bracket of all these corporations, you know, going against each other. EA managed to beat out Bank of America. Now, folks, for those of
Bank
you...
Bank of America and AT&T.
Well, no, but in the championship,
yes,
they
true.
Beat Bank of America. Now,
oh,
kids,
God.
Let's go away from gaming a little bit and explain to you what Bank of America has done. The fact right now that the economy is going to shit, and the fact that the foreclosure crisis has been so very rampant, is in a large part due to Bank of America. Bank of America right now has two class action lawsuits, one of them $10 billion, the other one $57.5 billion against them due to mortgages that and illegal foreclosures that they have been participating in for how many fucking years?
Yeah.
Versus EA, who's, I guess, worst
Make
crime
some bad
worst,
games.
Worst crime to humanity has been charging people $10 to use certain portions of a used game and making some shit games and never changing a fucking thing in Madden year in and year out.
I don't understand this. I really
like,
don't understand this.
And nobody, I had a hard time finding anybody on the internet who would be like, oh yeah, EA, it's totally worse than Bank
EA
America.
EA killed my father.
Well, it's just like...
So the Gamasutra article goes on to explain some of the reasons why this is what... Now, the big reason in my mind is that this is an internet submission
well,
poll.
There's that too. I mean, you have to realize, you know, gamers come out in full force.
But
I doubt people who are dealing with foreclosures are forthright going to go to an internet cafe, you know, while sitting there in whatever relative's basement they have to live in or the homeless shelter to get on the internet to go voice their opinion on the Consumerist over some online thing. Gamers, more prevalent on the internet.
Yeah.
Also, there's that, and I think that's valid.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple things that led to... There are a couple kind of factors that seemed to cheese people off. One was, I mean, the Mass Effect endings, which we
talked
about.
Yeah, I was going to say that, too. That's another thing.
It's a game!
That whole shit is fresh in people's mind versus I think we've just kind of come to realize, yep, foreclosures, they happen. It's not like the housing crisis just started last month or mm-hmm. anything.
Well, okay, so there's a couple Mass Effect. There's the endings. There's the on disc DLC, both of which we've talked about at length.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also an interesting kind of wrinkle to it, and that there was a concerted effort on the part of certain anti-gay groups to attack EA because of the quote unquote pro-gay agenda that they have in their games.
Which is funny because it's one thing I've applauded EA for doing it. You know,
well, yeah, but I mean, if you're a hardcore like Bible thumper and you think, you know.
In fact, what's really funny is I was going to say the other day, I feel like Mass Effect 3 is very loosey-goosey with sex. Like, more so than the other two. Like, a lot of characters are just like, man.
Woo!
You're just, especially the Jessica Chobot character when you, like, I'm in the part right now in the game where there's a bunch of people who are like, hey, I need to talk to you in your cabin.
Yeah.
And it's just like, she comes up there and does an interview, and her first thing out of her mouth is, oh, Shepard, you keep feeding me interviews like this, I just might want to go home with you. And it's like,
out of the blue, randomly, you've never had any interaction to...
Jessica Chobot's a whore.
Yeah, she's like, oh, okay, random weird character you want to have.
There was a... it was kind of funny because two of the first people I really talked to at length in that game mm-hmm. were Trainer, your comms officer,
yeah.
who's a lesbian,
mm-hmm.
and Cortez, your pilot, and right. not the pilot, he's the shuttle pilot.
Yeah, who's gay.
Who's gay. Mm-hmm. And it was like, my first thought was like, okay, guys, it's cool that you got gay people, but the whole crew doesn't need to be gay. And it just so happened that I just managed to talk to the two gay people right at the beginning.
I think with Cortez, they do it very subtly.
Oh, no, I think the way they handled that
with
was
Trainer,
very good.
With Trainer, it's a little more, you could tell the whole time she's been, especially because I have a femme shep, that she's been like, hey,
well, yeah.
Shepherd.
Yeah, but I think...
You both have female shepherds?
Yes. Yeah,
she's like, I'd like to go into your Mass Effect relay.
Hot.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any sense.
She wants to dock her Normandy in the Citadel.
Doesn't have to make
They're both, ladies. Neither of them have a Normandy. Just,
you know, they can have a
toys.
Fake Normandy.
Toys.
Rubber Normandy. Anyway, this went to a weird place. So, I mean, granted, and EA, I think, is taking the right attitude toward this.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're they've laughed it off.
I love EA's response to it. It's like, well, good thing that Big Tobacco or, you know, AIG or any other companies weren't part of this. So, haha.
And they also point out that for as many people hate them, they've also got, you know, pro-gay groups, you know, applauding them for their handling of this. And also that I think my favorite quote out of this whole thing is the consumerist, where they were talking about all of the people that were kind of like really, they kind of had your reactions, mm-hmm. like really Bank of America is better than EA. And the quote was, is to those who might sneer at something as non-essential as a video game company winning the worst company in America vote, it's that exact kind of attitude that allows people to ignore the complaints as companies like EA nickel and dime consumers to death. And I think that's valid.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because it is those little, not the, I'm not going to go into the nickel and diming thing, but it's more the, just because the company isn't, you know, a bank or anything like that doesn't mean it's any more susceptible to being run by dicks.
While right. that is true, you have to look at the big picture here of a company who provides people entertainment versus a company who provides people the chance to have a livelihood and, you know, just living arrangements. I guess if you're looking at the hierarchy of needs here, having a roof over your head, a little more important than having your perfect ending to Mass Effect 3. I'm going to go out there and pull the first world problem card on this one because this is a valid time, I guess, to pull that card and be like, suck a bag of dicks.
Actually, this what you just said didn't remind
speaking
me.
Speaking of bag of dicks.
Speaking of bag of dicks.
Speaking of bags of dicks.
I thought about you earlier because, not because of the bag of dicks. I'm just going to keep digging this hole.
Speaking of that weird place you went earlier.
I was in the shower.
Yeah. No, I...
Naked.
You've complained, Mike, you've complained several times about, you know, why does EA get crap for this, but Capcom doesn't.
Yeah, which is funny because I bring that up in an article I wrote, too.
Well, yeah, and actually I had read that there is a Better Business Bureau complaint kind of working right now against them for exactly that thing.
For against EA or Capcom?
Against Capcom.
Okay.
So I was like, there is stuff going on, but I really think it's what I was mentioning before. Where it's like, it's just assumed at this point
that Capcom's
terrible.
Just gonna do something
so it just
retarded.
Doesn't get the ink that it does.
Well, and the Better Business Bureau is a joke, so...
It's true. It is, because you can basically just pay to have your membership on there, and
it
doesn't really...
Very corrupted.
Yeah.
Are you ready for my new segment that I'm going to be doing?
Yes. A couple weeks ago, we were going to do a Kickstarter, like a regular Kickstarter feature, and we want to do it every week.
I think you should play the song Kickstart My Heart before her segment.
We'd have to pay for that.
Oh.
Not if we sang it ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we still would, yes.
You probably still would, yeah.
Evan.
You should know of any of them.
It's a different... It's a different
license.
It's a different license.
Yeah,
but we're making a mockery of it.
But my point is, we were going to do this weekly, but then we're like, you know what? This we might run out of good shit.
Yeah.
If we do it, because there really isn't that many games going around there. So we've now handed this off to Ashley for her monthly feature.
Woo!
And I think she found a good one for her first one.
Woo! Okay, so this Kickstarter is for the game called Fist Puncher. Which, first...
Speaking of the weird place we were earlier...
Yeah, no kidding. You... I'd understand face puncher or, like, cooter puncher, but fist puncher? Like, you're punching a fist? Doesn't make sense. Bad. Bad title off the bat. But,
maybe if you donate enough, they'll change it.
No, I looked at the things and it wasn't one of the rewards. But
well, you maybe there's a prize level over the 10,000 that Kickstarter lets you have.
Maybe. Maybe if I show them, like, boob or something.
Side boob.
I think you might
side
be boob. Overestimating the power of boob.
No. Never underestimate or overestimate.
I don't know. If I had the choice of seeing a boob and getting $10,000, I'd pick the $10,000.
You're not a man. Or human. Boobs.
Anyway.
So, what is Fist Puncher? Fist Puncher is a retro-styled, side-scrolling beat-em-up with RPG elements and plenty of button-mashing goodness. It follows a group of vigilantes as they fight their way through the streets of a lawless city.
Doesn't every game say they have RPG elements now? Isn't that just can't we just assume at this point that
if you can pick an item, RPG?
I mean, when Madden comes out and says they have installed RPG elements into their game.
So I think one of the greatest insights Tycho from Penny Arcade ever said is that RPG is not a genre anymore. It's more of a sauce.
Yeah.
You just kind of put it on whatever.
Yep.
And it's not its own thing anymore.
No.
They describe it as Double Dragon meets Castle Crashers.
Both of those games I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. The two guys that are trying to get this game more developed are two brothers named Matt and Jake Lewinowski. No, it's not. They've been making and playing games together since they were kids. You may know them best as the team Fist Puncher from IGN's The Next Game Boss, a reality show that pitted six teams of indie developers against each other as they raced to complete a fully functional game over the course of 1 week. They won with their game, Washington's Wig, a platformer starring George Washington's fictional dog, Dogsworth McFreedom.
Obama should change the name of his dog to that.
Dogsworth McFreedom.
Dogsworth McFreedom.
Let's write him a letter.
That might win him a couple more votes.
Let's get
election.
Obama on the phone.
Yeah.
I think I've got him on Skype. Just give me a second.
So, and then here's a little bit more about how do we know the game is any good? Like, why would you want to give money to it? There are currently 8 playable characters, including Dr. Karate, Steroid Jackson, Kid Justice, Hella Fitzgerald. Each has their own unique backstory and move set. There are over 30 levels, hundreds of unique enemies, and tons of hidden and unlockable content.
So have they said what they're going to release this on? Is it going
to
be PC? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so excited for this.
I want to play Hella Fitzgerald.
So do I. Although Dr. Karate sounds pretty cool.
Kid Justice sounds like that's already a character.
Yeah, I think
some like bad like Teen Titans character or Young Avengers type thing.
So this game is technically already made, so they're kind of thinking, so basically they're trying to raise $10,000.
Okay.
And they're like, why do we need $10,000? This game is already made. I guess it's not 100% done or self-funded. Mm-hmm. So like people probably invest in it and they want to have a good outcome. Also, they're trying to implement some other things like better boss battles, improve the level designs, just kind of improve the game in general, make it better, make it more fisty. I don't know.
More fisty. You should write their ad copy.
Wait. As one of our copywriters quit at work, and so my friend who's the other copywriter, she's like, you should write copy. I'm like, No, you don't want me to write copy. The phone's
just
free.
Just send her the show. Just send her the show.
I sent her my ideas of copy for promos. She's like, you're fired.
I want that job.
It's pretty
funny. Come on. I mean, Evan remembers our radio days. I am amazing at selling shit. My awesome segues, those were the best.
Oh, God, those were terrible.
We might have to... You might need to bring some of those back to the show.
Oh, God.
It was the sales equivalent of opening a locked car door with a bazooka. It was just like, really?
That's awesome. So here's all like the pledging.
In other words, that was amazing.
Yeah.
So if anybody doesn't know about Kickstarter, basically you pledge an amount And then you can pick a reward.
Oh, yes.
You can just give money, but you can also pick, like, if I'm going to pledge a couple bucks, here's what you can get. So there's tiers. And for a dollar, I like that they actually had something for a dollar. They'll send you a digital thank you.
Hey.
Which, hey, people like to be thanked. Because sometimes you can, you know, do a dollar and you get shit. So
I don't get thanked if I go to church and give money. So
right.
There you go.
No, nope, they just pay off people. So,
and buy porn.
Yeah. You can do, like, there's, like, 20, I think there's, like, one, there's tiers from $1 all the way to 10,000. Some of the ones that I thought were pretty good were, okay, so here, I'm trying to find out what the actual game comes from. So, it's basically a downloadable game. I think it's only for PC right now, because it's okay. Still in the beta phase.
So, Steam, I assume?
Yeah. If you pledge 25 or more, you can get, like, the deluxe fist punch or indie bundle, which is you can get the Washington's Wig game.
Nice.
Fist puncher, ringtones, desktop, all the stuff.
But there's something you don't get with games very often. Ringtones.
Yeah, MP3 ring or 3 ringtones.
Is that a thing anymore?
I don't know, because you can, like, practically make your own ringtones if you just put your music into the phone and
yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I used to do.
You also get 5 sprite sheets of the characters from Fist Puncher and Washington's Wig. The $150 one is you can have a non-playable character based on you. So they'll create a non-playable character in Fist Puncher based on you, and you'll have one line of text.
Hey.
I want mine to be Barf.
Yes.
Barf.
From
River City Ransom.
Yeah, River City Ransom. When you defeat some of the enemies, they just say Barf.
I think eating barf from Spaceballs.
No.
Fine.
Why would you? Never mind.
What do you mean, why?
Just move on.
His full name is Bartholomew. That's
yes, I know.
Okay, fine. Well, you think you know. You don't. All right. If you do 1,000 or more, you can have a Fist Puncher playable character based on you. So the other one was a non-playable character. But
and that was what,
in
50
it.
Bucks?
150.
150 bucks.
1,000, you can play you punching some fists. Punching with your fists. I don't know.
That's tempting.
I know, isn't it?
If I hadn't just bought a new dining room table, I would
return it, and then you can be a playable character in a game.
Yeah, and then I'd be sleeping at your house, because my wife would leave me at that point.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can sleep at Ashley's house.
What? Why are you offering my house? You live closer.
Yeah, you live a lot closer.
Ha ha.
All right, then he's going to deal with the dog.
Okay.
It's fine.
5,000. A weekend playing and developing games with us on California's beautiful Central Coast. Hang out with us while we work on Fist Puncher. Basically, $5,000 to go hang out with us.
Yeah, any
I don't know. I should put that just the Kickstarter. $5,000 to just hang out with me for a
while.
Well,
they, like, put you up in you get a nice hotel. Plus you get the playable character in the game, and then you get the VIP.
Well,
yeah, Fist
you're
Puncher
probably they're probably taking most of that money that you just put towards it to your plane ticket.
Pretty much.
So, or you could pay the 1,000 and then use your other 4,000 to take the plane ticket and stalk them.
Right. Just
break into the office and hang out.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What are you doing? And then the grand one, which is 10,000. Hire us to develop a game from your vision. Tell us your game idea and we'll turn it into a playable game in our offbeat 8-bit style.
God, that's even more tempting.
Do you have $10,000?
No.
They're like,
we could take all of our awesome ideas and finally make them come to
into one large game.
We'd have to go back and listen to all of our podcasts, though.
Oh, God, no one wants to do that.
I've said, if someone wants to collate all the vault ideas into like a wiki or something like that, I will make it worth your while. I won't go into it on the show, but I will definitely make it worth your while.
You know that stuff he does with the hobo.
That's right.
Yeah, that can also be yours.
I'll give you a mason jar of hobo blood.
It's magic.
Anybody can get that.
No, but this is magic.
This is magic. This is monk hobo blood.
Oh. They go on to say, obviously, we're not going to be making Fallout 4 for you, but we can.
I would play Fallout in an 8-bit brawler style.
Yes, me too.
But if you want to star in a platformer where the bosses are your exes, let's talk. And then there's an image.
Enjoy that.
There's an image of them, and they both are like with a mountain range behind them, and they have like awesome jackets, and they have beards, and they're
very indie.
They're very serial looking, serious, super serial.
Thank you for clarifying.
See,
yes, I saw the picture.
That's
earlier.
What you want to look like. I don't know. That's what I look like. It's model-esque. Yeah, the one does look kind of like you.
Yeah.
I just need mountains behind me.
Mm. Not a lot of mountains in Minnesota.
Nope. Some hills. Mm. Some steep hills.
We got toward Wisconsin to get the glacial areas, but...
Yep. Fair enough. Cat's going to end the podcast.
Probably.
Not if I can convince him.
Also, on another note, with the Kickstarter thing, I don't know if you saw, but Shadowrun.
I was going to mention that, and I actually posted that on my Facebook. The creators of the Shadowrun games, the pen and paper game, they've basically said, you know what, there's never been a real good Shadowrun game, which I disagree with. I really like the Genesis one. But so the guys are trying to raise $400,000 to make a PC and tablet Shadowrun game, and it's phased turn-based, so it's kind of like Frozen Synapse, or where you put all your actions and you basically hit go and watch everything go.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's 4 to 6 classes. And you got like your hacker and your street samurai and all of these guys. And I'm like, that could be awesome. And there's like 3 weeks left, and I think they need like 200,000. They're not quite halfway there, but I will definitely contribute to that.
Well, this one, I think they're already at like 3,000, and they've got 25 days left.
Yeah.
So I mean, I hope they get it. I just wish they would have changed the name.
You really don't like Fist Puncher.
What doesn't make sense?
Maybe if you contribute $10,000 and you just say like,
I'll make my own goddamn game then. That's part of the pledge.
Right.
They will make their own game. Yeah, it's true.
You just want to make Fist Puncher too.
No, I just want to make like, because when I think of Fist Punch, I think of fisting. It's just not okay.
Don't.
Really? Am I the only person who came to that conclusion?
Yes,
no.
You are.
No, I am not.
On the planet.
No.
You're the only one.
No, and it doesn't make any...
Grammarly?
How can you say it? Grammarly?
Grammatical?
Grammatical.
I like grammarly.
Grammatically, it doesn't make sense.
You have Mike's disease. You get one glass of wine in you and you're just all screwed up.
No, grammatically doesn't make sense. Fist puncher? I'm punching a fist? That's not effective. Punching someone's fist, that's like a neutral thing. Like, there's no, like, positive or negative. I'm not hitting you or you're hitting me. We're just...
It's a really hard fist bump, okay, Ashley? That's what it is.
No, it's like Wonder Twins.
It's
activate.
A game for bros.
And Hella Fitzgerald.
Hella Fitzgerald, that's pretty awesome, I must say.
It is bro-ish.
All right, well, have you been playing anything other than Silent Hill, Miss Ashley?
Draw something.
Ah. Do we want to talk about that?
Mm,
it's so fun.
No.
Okay. Well, can I just say that if anybody that we're friends with on Facebook, you should play Draw Something with me. Because I play on my iPad. You can tell when I play on my iPad and when I play on my phone. Because my iPad, I can get super detailed.
I ended up deleting the game.
What?
Just because of the comments the CEO said that were a little dickish. And I just don't really want to contribute.
Why do you pay
that?
Attention to so many of these people?
I ended up uninstalling it, but not because of that. Basically, the novelty wore off for me, and I didn't want it sitting there and being like, finish these rounds.
Yeah.
So I just cut all my games free.
Oh, I was just going to pick your... Because I think I moved... I think I was... You're
probably,
waiting for me.
Probably. Yeah. I don't know. I just...
I bought the $1 version when it was half off so I could have more colors.
Yeah, the novelty just wore off really quick.
Because you can't draw... You draw
there
a lion,
that.
And it's a circle and two fucking things in the middle of a circle. Lion? Cole and I said
you're really
there.
Upset about the lion. That lion made a lot of sense.
It was my very first one, and I got... It was my very first turn, and I could not figure it out. And Cole and I just were looking at each other like, I don't know. Don't.
There was more to it than a lot than
no, there
a
was
lion.
Two circle. There was one circle. It was a squiggly circle on the outside. Then there was an inside
one. That was the
one.
Main.
Then there was one inside and, like, two dots for eyes.
No, and then there was the mouth.
No, that mouth was not a mouth. That was, like, an error. That was, like, like, you bumped it.
I am error.
That was, like, you bumped it or something.
You should see my Paris. That looked like a seizure. Just, yeah.
You
was
just
really
draw the Eiffel Tower.
I did, and it, yeah, no.
It looked like a black penis, probably.
I yelled at him the next day on GChat, and he's like, you try drawing something with these fat fingers.
It's true. Imagine,
I said, you
imagine,
have a tablet.
You see, the thing is, the tablet, at least the Zoom or the Android version, doesn't really give you that much more fidelity to it.
Yeah, it does. That's what mine is.
Yours is
no,
an
you have
iPad.
An iPad. I'm saying the Android, like the version I have, it just takes the phone game and blows it up. Like,
well, that's what mine is too.
Yeah, but it's not more fine or anything.
Yes, it is because your finger takes up
on
way
the
less
iPad.
Space.
It is.
It's the same.
Fight
anyway. I got sick of it. So that was it.
Fine.
Well,
very good.
Screw you. Screw you both. I don't want to play with either of you.
What about you, Mike?
I've still been playing Mass Effect 3, still been playing the show, and it's funny because how I've been bitching, how I've been terrible at hitting. So everybody else that I'm going to be playing in the league with here in probably like a week, they've also been complaining the same thing. So this will be a really interesting low-scoring league.
This will be like Pee-wee
yeah,
league.
This will be like, oh, I got 16 strikeouts the other night. but for some reason, I had this itch to go...
feed candy to small animals?
Well, yes. Acquire Pokemon, like the original Game Boy Advance version.
Pikachu!
And I don't know why, but I've just been sitting there in bed, like, for hours on end, just being like, I gotta play this. And Laurel looks at me, and she's like, how am I married to you?
She's questioning that
now. It's a valid question, though.
I don't know. She has this, like, thing against Pokemon. Like, she is,
they're so cute.
Fearful of them or something. I don't know.
Did you guys see my print that's for sale today?
No.
I did not yet, no.
How do you not? Aren't you on Facebook?
Yeah, but I have like 600...
It's on my GChat message. It says my
I don't
print.
Read though. I don't read those.
You're so horrible at promoting me. And
that's
helping
right.
Me.
He's worse at promoting me.
That's true. And it's not relevant if I tell people now because it won't be for sale tomorrow, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even know. I have the rest of the week off. I had today off and I have the rest of the week off. So I intentionally like stayed off the internet as much as
I could.
I
told you to take off work.
I know.
Mm.
So it's really your fault that I didn't do it.
So there you go.
Why did you tell him to take off work?
Because he was busy.
I was threatening to jump off my building.
Yeah.
So I needed a couple days off.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up.
So have you been enjoying Pokemon?
I have been. It's been great.
Who's your favorite Pokemon?
Well, so I kind of cheated because I'm like, you know, I'm older now. I don't really want to go through the...
through the
BS. So
you got to go through the gyms, are they called? You got to go.
I am going through the gyms, but I decided that I wanted to start out with my dream lineup of Pokemon. So what do I
What's
go?
Who's your Pokemon dream team?
So I have Mewtwo.
Yes.
Right off the bat, I've got.
He's 152, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got. I'm working on. He's now Charizard. Not Charizard yet. I got him at the lowest level so I can build him up so I can get the three spots
for
him. So I got him as a Charmander.
Charmander.
He's Charmeleon now.
Yeah.
Charmeleon.
I've got a Venusaur and then a Squirtle that's evolved to Wartortle.
Squirtle.
And then I've got a Pikachu that I'm trying to get to Raichu.
I like
and then
when
I
you
can't
get the
remember...
The Pichu's not in that game.
No, yeah, I said I know, yet. But I like later on when you can get Pichus.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't remember the other two that I have right now. I think one's a Jigglypuff and the other one's a...
Or Kirby, basically. Jigglypuff slash Kirby.
I can't remember what the other one is.
Fun little fact.
Mm-hmm.
My current toilet reading is I have a dictionary of monsters and just like fabled creatures that mm-hmm. I've been leafing through. There is a creature in Japanese folklore called the Raichu.
Okay.
That, or it might be Raichu, I don't remember, but it's a weasel that controls storms. So I'm like, there's your origin.
That makes sense, yeah.
So it's based on Japanese mythology.
That would make a lot of sense.
Wow.
But yeah, nice. So I've been having fun playing it. It's been enjoyable.
Cool.
Unfortunately, I won't get to it tonight, but I'm you know, what's funny is I'm actually like hoping to finish Mass Effect 3 soon just so I can get back to... Alan Wake's American Nightmare, or American Nightmare, or whatever. Yeah, because I was like, I was really having a.
Did you just call it American Whitemare?
I think so
Nightmare,
by mistake.
I think he said
something like that.
Alan Wake's American Nightmare.
Yeah,
it's just la.
No, because I was really enjoying that, and then it's like, oh, then this game shows up, and I'm like, okay, well, this
it
is
didn't
my
show
life.
Up. You went and sought it out.
That's true. I did go to the midnight release just so I could make sure it was sitting in my house the next day at work. So, yeah.
All right. I'm between games right now. Now that I've finished Mass Effect, I'm kind of bobbling back and forth. I've been kind of poking at Alpha Centauri, which I picked up last week from Good Old Games. That's a fun game, but it makes the mistake of, at least in my mind, it's not a mistake for normal people, but for me, it bothers me. So it's like a Civilization kind of game.
But everyone's very polarized.
Everyone's very polarized, but it's also there's a story. in each game. And you can whip through the story in about 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if you're going to put a story in one of those kind of 4X, you know, command and control kind of games, that better be take a 40-hour game to finish that story.
Why?
Because I'm broken and that's what I like. Oh.
See, I guess for me, the 4-hour story works because, you know, I don't know.
I don't like those kind of games where you can play through an entire game in an afternoon. The game I got in Civ 5 right now, I've been playing for a month and a half, and I'm not even done yet. Like, that to me is like the right length for that.
Yeah.
But
you need help.
I'm weird, so that's... There is that,
I guess. I'm on one that I'm on 2 weeks right now, and I'm... God, I don't even know how I'm going to end up finishing it, because I'm trying to do the military thing, but there's too many... They're spread out too weirdly for me to effectively do the military.
Well, then you're screwed.
So that's why I'm in the midst of trying to develop nuclear weapons, make my life easier.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I did pre-order Prototype 2 this week.
And why didn't you get the collector's edition? How did you talk yourself out of that?
Well, I was actually very proud of myself that I managed to talk myself out of it. Because for the $20, that is the difference. You get a comic, which I'm going to read once.
And it's $3.
$3. An art book, which I'm going to look through once, if that. A soundtrack CD.
That you won't listen to.
That, you know, I'll throw it in the 1,000 song pile that is my music library. And that's about it. That's all you get.
You don't get like a cool statue.
You get the first DLC for free, but that's not coming out till May. But there's no way that DLC is going to be $20. So,
see, mine is very weird because I had all that same inclination, you know, with mine of being like, well, I don't really want to get, you know, the Mass Effect 3 Collector's Edition. But the only reason I ordered it, and this shows how I'm a little bit sick, was that there was in-game clothing for your Shepard, and there was an N7 patch. And that is why I decided.
And the dog. You get the dog.
Yeah.
Too, which does nothing in that game. I've not been able to figure out what the fuck you do with that dog.
You just have a dog.
It's not even like with you ever. It's just only if you go to the one area.
Yeah, it's just walking around a room. You can only talk to it like a few times in the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
Lame.
Yeah, it's really stupid. I don't understand it myself.
No, but it was mainly the N7 patch.
Nice.
But yeah, Prototype, and I'll probably talk about this more when it comes out, but they're doing something really interesting. All of the pre-orders, they're including it in what they're calling, they're making it a RadNet edition. And what the RadNet is, it's kind of like the Cerberus Network from Mass Effect 2,
mm-hmm.
where it's a free kind of DLC multiplayer kind of thing that comes with the game. And for the first like 6 or 7 weeks after the release, there's going to be a steady drip of new content and new events in this RadNet, but you can only get it if you pre-order.
Huh.
So, a month and a half, 2 months, like that's interesting that they're just going to keep doing, and they've got it all planned out already. And it's just going to be this steady, like there's going to be like a new enemy or a new power, like, you know, every couple days, and a new task to do and things like that. I'm like, that's really interesting. And that is going to be one of those that's going to be that smart way of keeping that game out there for at least a couple months.
Right.
So
I'm still toying with if I want the collector's edition of Max Payne 3 or not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what's in it. I'm not even sure if I want to pre-order it yet. I'm going to probably end up doing it.
Yeah.
Just because it's one of those games where it's just like, wow, I never thought that'd actually be coming out.
Nice. So there we go. I think that's a good place to end.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah?
Bag full of dicks.
Bag full of dicks. So next week, Ian will be back from PAX. So
I will be gone.
You'll be gone next week.
Listening to country music.
I'm sorry.
Why?
No, it's not. Well, it's kind of country music. Going to go see Trampled by Turtles.
Oh, that's good. Music. Okay.
Anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, so Ian will be back next week after PAX East. And then the week after, we've got one of the guys from Freelance Games.
Mm-hmm. Makers of Trailer Park King and Trailer Park King Part 2.
And soon to be Trailer Park King Part 3, with us.
He's got another game too, and I can't remember the name of it. It's just the Trailer Park thing.
Yes, remember. So we're gonna have him on the show to talk about what it's like to be an independent game developer, and he's looking forward to that. I know
we could ask him about the fog.
My fog theory. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's the right guy to ask for that though.
The fog theory.
We don't know any other.
You
developers.
Have to listen to the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
But anyway. We're gonna go. We have a cat on the table and he's attacking Mike.
Because Mike keeps playing with his feet and he obviously doesn't like it.
Yeah.
I fuck you.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you guys very much for listening. Oh my god, I didn't even say thank you to my lovely hosts.
That's okay.
Big thanks to Mike Dineen.
Thank you everyone again for listening. Make sure to check us out on the various social media sites. On Twitter, you can look us up at YAGSFPG. You can also check us out on Facebook. Just look us up there at Yet Another Gaming Show.
My hands smell like barbecue. Sorry.
Gross.
Yeah. I made barbecue earlier, so. Also, big thanks to Ashley.
Thank you guys for listening. And, you know, make sure you're telling your friends. Make sure if you know people who don't know about podcasts, make sure you're telling them. Podcasts are awesome. They're free. And we're happy that you guys listen. We want more people to do the same. And make sure that you check us out. Make sure you guys check out our shop, which is shop.fancypantsgangsters.com. We have cool shirts and awesome things to buy people or yourself.
All right. And if you're a fan of ours that at PAX East and you want to say hi and hang out with Ian, let us know. You can email us at yags@fancypantsgangsters.com and we can make that happen.
Meet and greet.
Yeah.
Meet and greet with Ian.
And
the Canadian.
And his girlfriend.
Oh, his girlfriend's there?
That's why...
He's going?
Yeah.
Oh, cute.
That was like her birthday present was tickets to PAX East.
So cute.
Yeah.
Nerd gifts.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
I just turned on Silent Hill and it's raining.